Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome to each one here this morning. I trust that we're here because we are expecting something. We're expecting to spend time together worshiping the Lord. We're expecting to hear God's word being taught. And I hope we're expecting to receive something this morning. And it's just something that I was thinking about here this morning is as we come together, I want to do that. And I believe that God is faithful as we come to Him in that way. Let's just pause and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do come before You this morning. We do thank You for today. We thank You that we have the opportunity to just come together before You, Lord. We pray this morning that You would minister to the needs that we have. We recognize that we are a needy people. We recognize that we need You. And Lord, I pray that as we look further into Your word, I pray, Lord, that You would speak to us. I pray, Lord, that You would speak through me today, and Lord, we desire that You would receive all the honor and glory. I pray for those that are not here. I pray for those that are listening into the message, Lord. We just lift them up to You and just pray that they could be encouraged today. We just want to commit this service to You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'd like to turn to 2 Peter and pick up in chapter 2 here. And we'll just read this passage, and then we'll come back and look at some things here. The title that I give this message as I consider this chapter, and we look at He's warning and teaching that there is going to be false prophets, that there were false prophets, and that we can expect that. And the title that I have for this message is, You Will Know Them by Their Fruits. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, be aware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. If you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, and if we can stand and we'll read this chapter here, and I'll read the give you opportunity to participate in the reading here. I'll read the first two verses, and then I'll open it up to you, and you can take turns reading as you desire, and then I'll finish the chapter out. 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their perilous ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of.
Lord, thanks, sir. Judge, we can tell of a long time when they're down here, it's covering. For if God spared not the womb of that day, them down to hell, delivered them in the pain of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the blood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into acids, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly.
If the church convictions, one, oppressed by the sinful mother of unprincipled men, survival, what we saw and heard that right then having. While living among them, he felt on his righteous soul, tormented the day after day, right in the lessons.
Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, serve the unjust under punishment, and day of judgment. Especially those who walk according to flesh, walk without cleanliness, and responsibility, their conception. So, Lord, we are afraid, we are not afraid to speak evil or any fear.
Whereas angels were greater in power and might be not bring the violent accusation against them.
But these as natural new beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they have counted pleasure, to be blinded in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you.
Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, you guide them unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Caleb, son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness.
Boaz rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking, and man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are the wells without water, clouds that are carried without a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever.
For whom they speak, with swelling words of vanity, they will allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that are clean escaped from them. Who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the city is he brought in bondage.
For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them.
So it is a path of unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to a little lion again, and the saddle that was lost because of all in the mind.
Thank you. You may be seated. So as we look at this passage here, we see that Peter is mentioning that there were false prophets in the past, and there will also be false prophets among you. There were those who opposed God's truth in the past, and so it will be today. We see in verse 2 here, that he reminds us that there's going to be many that will follow after these things. And so, a little discouraging when we look at some of this, but just a couple of verses that I want to point out here as we look at this chapter in verse 9, I think is a verse of promise that we can hold on to. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So we know that the hand of God is looking over his people, which I trust includes us here this morning, and that we know that he is looking out for us. And as we face life, as we face these situations, God is going to be faithful. He is going to show us what we're facing if we're paying attention. He's not just going to let us be blindsided and we just perchance get lost because we got deceived. I believe that God is faithful, and we can see that in many, many different verses in Scripture, that we serve a God that He is looking out for His people. So I'd like to just focus a little bit on the beginning here on some, as we think about false prophets and who they are and how they act, and just help us be aware of, hopefully, that we can identify these people as we consider this. Who are these teachers? As we notice in Scripture here, a false prophet, he's not out there proclaiming who he is. He's going to probably be doing these things in secret. And something that I noticed, and I'm sure we're aware of, but I believe that these false teachers often actually, they will be deceived. They are deceived themselves. We turn to Matthew chapter 7, I think gives us an example, a little bit of what we see here. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? In verse 23, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So we see here that these people here thought they were obviously doing something, but they were deceived. So we note that these teachers, they act secretly. They're often deceived themselves. And these teachers often have a great following. And in one of the reasons that I believe that they do, and it may be a good indicator of who they are, is they often teach on things that appeal to our fleshly desires. The way they present things, the way that the things that they pull out of Scripture and point out as important, is it's things that appeals to our flesh. I think something to note is these teachers will often convince you to follow them. They have the answers, and they're looking for a following, and they find great fulfillment in having people following them, rather than pointing them to God and God's word. So something to take note of. These people have a self-centered agenda. Their motivation is something other than to bring glory to God. And the results of these kinds of teachers is they often bring confusion, or they do bring confusion to the way of truth. In first, just a couple of verses here, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 3, If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmising, perverse, disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. It's probably a common one that is all around us, that supposing that when we're adding gain, that this is a sign of godliness. And God's word says that when we identify that spirit, that we shouldn't hang out with it. And it's a real threat. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 says, "Be aware of false prophets which come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather of grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringing forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." I'd read that earlier, but it's again just reminding us that we, Jesus is saying, we can identify these people as his children. We don't have to be blindsided. It's interesting, we look in Mark chapter 14, and we see who Judas was. In Mark chapter 14, verse 18, and the disciples and Jesus were here, and as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me." In verse 19, they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" And he answered and said unto them, "It is the one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish." The disciples did not actually know who Judas was. So we're reminded again and again here that God's word does teach us that there are people around us that profess to be Christians that are deceived or are deliberately coming against truth. And I believe that we must be aware of both. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, going down to verse 4 and through 7 here. On a different note here, this charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth in all things. As we consider these things, and we know that, like in this passage, God's word teaches us how to interact, and that we're to have a heart of love and care. And sometimes I think it's easy or it's hard to know when we face these things. It's like, well, how do I interact? How do I show compassion? And we know that we can't just be passive and just like, well, just let them go and not speak into it. But I believe we need to walk in the Spirit, and we need to speak truth. And we need to, as we speak truth, we need to analyze our own hearts in that. Is do we have a heart that has compassion for them in the midst of these things, or is it something else? God's word not only warns us about these false believers, but I believe he also equips us how to identify and navigate through life. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So, just one passage here in Acts chapter 17. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 17, we notice here that in Acts that things were happening. And I think we can learn something here if we pay attention here. Acts chapter 17, going down to verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogues of the Jews. These were more noble than these in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So we notice here that they were being taught, they were being preached to, and it appears that these people were searching the scriptures. Are these things true? And it was changing their lives. And I think we do well in, as we listen, as we hear messages, that we do that. We look into God's word and study it and understand that God's word is true, and that God's word isn't going to lie or deceive me, and that we compare those things. There's so much available to us in today's world, and that is a safeguard. And we see them doing it here in Acts. They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures whether those things were so. If they needed to do that in those days, we definitely need to do it today. Therefore, many of them believed, also of the honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. So many, many people's lives were changed because of that. and we do well to pay attention to that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Who gave thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. They reminded them here that the word, the gospel, came not only in word. It was not only a head knowledge that was being taught here, but it was a reality in their lives. And it says that it came not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. So I believe that God has filled us with His Spirit and continually does so as we navigate through life. And He not only speaks in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. And so those are things that we can pick up on. There's many people that know the right thing to say, but are they doing it? And so those are things that I think we can be aware of. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that these things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. That we are reminded that God's word is true. And just in just some closing comments here that I want to make as we consider these things here is as I began is by their fruits you shall know them. Fruits. What fruits are we looking for? Fruit means things that are coming out of my life, things that are coming out of the lives of the people that we're observing. Things that remind us of Jesus. Reminds us that God's word is true. When we think of fruit, we think of lives that are changing. That Jesus got a hold of, and their lives are changing. Fruit doesn't mean that we're looking for someone that is perfect, because we're not going to find that in this life, but it does mean that it is someone that Jesus is changing their lives, and that the things that they're doing is not only going to be in word, but it is also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Our gospel comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's be encouraged as we consider these things that we follow the gospel, that we follow His teachings, and that we are aware that we are aware that there's many that are not following Jesus. And I don't believe that we need to be afraid of that. We just need to be aware and realize that is out there, and not to be surprised when we come against those things. May the Lord bless each one of you as we follow the Lord and as we walk wisely in this world.